Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it on a Wednesday, 6 p.m. local time. It's a hot one, but the breeze is making the trees dance outside the picture window of the ticket. Makes me feel a little bit better. 402-464-5685 is the Sartor Hamann text line, but on the Aloe VIP line, let's bring him in. He's on the stream. You can follow on Facebook, YouTube, X, and channel 961 on Aloe. Let's bring him in. Dave Turcotte joins us for one-on-one. Turk, what's happening, brother?
Great to be back. Thanks for having me. Honored to be here, man.
It's a joy. Listen, man, we look forward to it. Here's the thing. I can tell you how you know you're winning. When Austin Orman and Harrison Arnes both get excited about the fact that you're going to be on is a sign that you have landed in Lincoln, Nebraska. And it's the thing that matters. Harrison, do I lie?
No, absolutely not.
You know what I love about Harrison? Very clearly, he has low expectations for the game. So.
He's around me enough that he goes, you know what? That's good radio. That's enough for us. Like, that's the win. If we're just entertaining Harrison, Austin, and Ben, we've won. Like, we've captured the necessary audience.
That's awesome. You know, for me personally, I just like talking about relevant stuff that matters, you know, and you guys cover a broad swath of, you know, sports, human interest, life, kids, community, things that matter. And, you know, I think it's a great way to spend our time. And I'm, like I said, honored to be a part of the discussion. And if I can add anything to it and bring value to it, then that's fantastic for me. And I will always be available for that.
I want to get into it because I want to start with the NBA playoffs, and there's so many different talking points, style of play, young players, wear and tear on the body, great pairs, great trios. But I want to ask your opinion on Jrue Holiday, because I think he is the thing that we've missed in all of this conversation. This is a guy that's going to be on the Olympic team. Now, Jaylen Brown and Tatum, and listen, we talk about him, but Brown's not on the Olympic team. Jrue Holiday's on the Olympic team. What does Holiday do as a player, and why is it necessary in today's NBA that it's three deep at a minimum, maybe four? We can't play the game the way it used to be played.
Right, right. Well, first of all, we got to remember how the NBA rules are set up, right, and how it's different from the international game. And like I always say this, no disrespect to the NBA game. I love the NBA game. But, you know, the NBA game is the WWE of the basketball world. It's like, well, we're going to make the rules so that we want lots of fast breaks. We want lots of dunks. We want lots of one-on-one. We want to see guys doing the Kyrie crazy, the sham god crazy pullover stuff, right? that's great entertainment, but that's not the purest form of basketball. That's why I think when you see the American media audience, in fact, DP, you probably know this better than anyone. There's a whole swath of your listeners that are like, I don't even watch the NBA. I just want to watch college. I'll watch the NCAA tournament because that's real basketball, right? There's that constituent group of watchers. And then there's the NBA people that more want the entertainment value of, I want to see what it's like when LeBron does something crazy and dunks over three guys. Like, that entertainment value is more where the NBA goes, right? Now, yep. here's the twist. And I mentioned the Sham God on purpose, by the way, because it's so funny how American media dominates the conversation around the NBA and the progression of the game to ABA, NBA, and beyond as an entertainment product. And you always hear people talking about, hey, what's the big dialogue now between the NBA and the WNBA? Oh, well, finally, the WNBA has a great product that they're putting on TV that we can all watch, and you're getting millions as a product, right? So to basketball purists, I don't give a crap if it's a good product for you to watch on TV. I want to watch the nuance of the game. You got to remember who I am, DP, and guys like me. I'm the guy that when Steph Curry comes to play in Salt Lake, where I would go to the game with the Jazz, I could care less about the game. I'm there 4 hours early. I want to see Steph Curry set up, how he prepares, his footwork, how he becomes great. The thing that he does every, I get into the nerdiness of the beauty of the game at its most granular level, right? The purest form of loving the game, which is what we all tried to do to perfect our craft. So now switch over to what the Olympics is. FIBA, the Olympic International Game, where I did not make the NBA for more than that long. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not an NBA player. I don't view myself as an NBA player. I didn't qualify for that. But the truth is the international game is different and more beautiful in a lot of ways. It sort of marries the hybrid of more elite players, but like college rules. You can do it like, you know what? You got Michael Jordan in the game. Great. We'll just zone him and put two guys on him. And we're going to make Scottie Pippen make a mid-range jumper all day long to beat you. I don't know if that's good television or not. Okay. But the fact is, that's great basketball to basically say, if you're a pro and you're playing for your country, I don't care what you do to defend. I don't care how you scheme or strategize. If you're a pro, you can do everything. If I got to go to the rack, I go to the rack. If I got to defend, I defend. Now, let's go right back to your question on Drew Holiday and why he's there. In the international game, unlike the NBA, it's more about, like in the NBA, they'll always tell you, got to have the big three. Right? Big twos. I don't even know if there's been a big two that's won, but you know, Jordan, Pippen, you know, Rodman, right? Utah lost. Why? I think they had a big 2.5. They just didn't have that extra firepower when they played. So who, you know, Golden State, you know, you got, you know, their big three with, you know, with my favorite players was of course Steph and Clay, you know, and so, you know, all that stuff was there. Now, in the international team, everybody can't be their best scorer. So if you just put 5 or 12 guys on a team and they're all the leading scorers in the league, well, who are the guys that can, like, who are that guys that, you know, that one will defend? My primary job, like, by the way, can I tell you, I say this every year, Drew Holiday is the most, Mike Conley, Drew Holiday, two most underrated players in the league. Yep. I've been saying that the last 3 years, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, T-Wolves without Mike Conley are not making their run in the playoffs, period, the end, right? Now, Drew is that beautiful player that is so unselfish. He will defend like a pit bull, okay? Like, you know, I remember playing. There are certain guys that guard you, DP, where it's like, you're like, oh, no, not this dude. You know, he is going to be right there in my grill. Like, I will never get to relax for one moment. So you got to have that guy, number one, from a purely defensive perspective, right? Now, someone like Anthony Edwards, by the way, who was the big star in the last USA team that happened to lose to Canada, lose to Germany, because you can't be that pit bull dog defender and your primary scorer. The only guy that's ever been able to do that in the history of the universe is Jordan and no one else, okay? So I think if I was looking at Team USA saying, look, we can't have 12 guys that are shoot first guys. So when, you know, building a great team for an Olympics is not saying, and this is where Canada made mistakes in the past, by the way, when building our roster. Hey, we're just going to take all the guys with the highest scoring average and say they're the best players. There's our team. Like, you've got to have that guy. Look, I'm sorry. People don't like Draymond Green. Boy, would I love to play with Draymond Green on my team. Okay. Rebound, defend. But like, so Drew Holiday, if you watch when this next game tonight, whenever it is, he will get that ball. That ball will be either he'll be making a play himself or it is out of his hands and gone to the next right play. So he's a glue guy. He moves the ball and creates fluidity. He's also a vicious defender in the backcourt. So when you think about matching up against Canada, well, who are the teams that beat you in the World Championships? Canada. So who's going to guard Jamal Murray and who's going to guard Shai Gilgeous? Probably Drew Holiday is one of the best guys in the world. Now look at Canada. You know who we got this, that guy? Lucas Dort from OKC. Mm-hmm. Vicious on the ball. You got to have somebody. Who's going to take out the best player on the other team, right? So that's why he's on the team. You have to build chemistry. Not everybody can be fighting for shots because he's a guy that every scorer is going to love because they know I'm not losing shots because of Drew Holiday. And you know what? When I screw up and make that stupid play, he's the defender that's got my back. So I love Drew Holiday. Again, he and Mike Conley, two underrated players, but he absolutely should be on the team. He plays a role, like a Draymond Green type guy, Drew Holiday, who's that third guy, but man, he does so many. How many times in this playoffs with the Celtics have you seen the game over, Drew Holiday makes, again, in fact, was it, I forget who it was, he made, you know, two or three steals, game over. They're coming down, they got the ball, he defends, locks up, turnover, steal, game over. So there are guys that make winning shots to win games. Drew Holiday makes defensive plays that just shut the door. You will not pass. Game over. And I love that guy for his game and the way he plays and his unselfish nature. And you got to have those guys on your team. So short question, long answer. But I'm a big fan of Drew Holiday.
Turk, if you had to build a team and you wanted to match a style of play, and I often say that coaches will develop a team to play in their persona. So if you were going to create a team, one, what would that personality be? And then two, who would the players be? If I asked you to pick 10 players for your dream team, any country, any style of play.
I'll tell you right now, the greatest international player of all time so far is Drazen Petrovic. Okay? That dude was scoring 50 a game. And by the way, Drazen Petrovic, I'm going to say this right now for the record. He did the sham god to me, the exact sham god in like 1983, you know, yeah. 10 years before. Like, and you're around long enough to know when he was playing for the Nets, that dude was not scared of Jordan. He went up there and he did work. He was dropping big numbers in the league. So let me really answer your question, though. This is the thing about the international game. And it's funny, I talked to my wife about this the other day. The influence of soccer on the international players is amazing. By the way, Steve Nash, my boy, right? He's my guy that, you know, he was a kid when he played with me, but he is now the king of all things basketball in Canada, as he should be, right? And the thing about Steve was Steve's entire family. I think his brother was a professional soccer player. His dad was a soccer coach. He grew up in a soccer culture, I think in South Africa at some point, playing soccer. Came to Canada as a soccer player and switched to basketball. Soccer players have a unique ability because of the entire nature of that game, like hockey players, to play in space. That famous saying from Wayne Gretzky, right? I'm not going where the puck is. I'm going where the puck is going to be. And soccer players play that way in space. That's more of the FIBA game. So that's why one of, I'm sure, your favorite teams of all time, San Antonio Spurs, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Matt Scola, like think about the guys on that San Antonio team. You think, who are these nobodies? But that ball just moved beautifully and Pop had that thing going. Everybody, Golden State Steve Kerr does not happen without San Antonio Spurs Greg Popovich, right? It's the Euro influence of how to play without the ball. And that's why, you know, when I think of still what I think the highest basketball IQ game of all time, it's still Klay Thompson, 43 points, 6 dribbles. Okay? Highest basketball IQ. Okay, so that's the European game. Playing without the ball, playing in space. The Rucker Park, New York, like dribble, 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 Kyrie, one-on-one, I'm going to show you up and laugh at you and talk trash. Yeah, that's great for a street game. That's great for entertainment. That's great for some things. But in an international game, and here's the key thing to go back to answering your question. It is a three-point game first in Europe. I love the fact that LeBron is going to play because you know why? I'll take LeBron shooting threes as the primary form of his offense. So international teams will pack in and say, Team USA, you're going to have to get 60% of your offense from three-point shooting. And you're all going to look there at each other and pretend who's going to take turns playing one-on-one and out-dominate teams physically. That doesn't happen anymore. Okay? Like, look at the Euros. I mean, I'm sorry, but probably half of the best players in the league right now are all foreigners.
Yeah.
Shea Gilgeous, Canada. You got Luka. You got who's the MVP?
Doncic.
Doncic. But then you got like Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
But for the Pacers, played for the Raptors. 6'9" forward.
Yeah, he's on the
Pascal Siakam,
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Right. Look at all these guys. And what they all do is kids played soccer.
Yeah.
And the thing is, so the one thing about the European game, it's more about ball, like you always watch it. Ball movement, getting it moving around fast pace. And then comes the shot. The shot's never on the first pass, rarely, unless it's a fast break. The shot, which they want to be a three, 60% of the time, is on the fourth or the fifth pass. USA basketball is all about, I'm going to get the ball. Like it's literally like we take turns. Like, why did the Clippers fail for so many years? Paul George, when I look at like Paul George, you know, and Kawhi, love them both as players. But the reason I struggle with them from a coaching and a strategic perspective is all they did was take turns playing. Okay, your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn. Like, yeah. That's not team basketball, right? It's great individual basketball, which is unparalleled. So if I was picking a team, the first thing I'd look for is nobody's going to be on my international team that's shooting less than 40% from three. So Damian Lillard, I'm sorry, it may be Dame time. And my pet peeve in shooting as a shooter myself, he's a high volume shooter. That just means he can't shoot. I'm sorry, if you need 38 shots to make 14 threes, you can't shoot and you shouldn't be shooting. Okay. Now, there are a lot of guys that we have mutual friends, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We played ball with in Utah, another play that you know that I played with. Yeah. Can they get hot and hit four or five in a row? Of course they can. Those guys are out there, but they'll miss nine before that happens, right? So who are the guys that can shoot 40%, 43, 44, 45, no matter what, from the international three, right? Well, that cuts your team down. So the fact that I would have Klay Thompson on this team without question.
Yeah.
To me, the most fearsome three players for USA, think, how do you guard this from the three-point line? Mm-hmm. Steph, Klay, KD.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are you going to do with that?
that seemed to be the thing that in my mind, as you build this, you head into the Olympics and you have concerns. You have concerns because the international play is catching up and the international rules are different.
They are different.
So that is the thing. That's a big part of having you on each week, is that you'll remind us of the international game. You'll remind us of what other places are doing. I want to talk about Canada. But, Turk, I want to go to break, and when we come back, I want to ask you about Caitlin Clark. I want to ask you about the Olympics and what the mission should be and then what it is. We'll get all of that from Turk here on 1-on-1 93.7 The Ticket.
You're listening to 1-on-1 with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
One-on-one with Dave Turcotte. Turk, we mentioned the Olympics and what's happening. I want to ask you your thoughts on Caitlin Clark and the Olympic issue with her not being on the Olympic team. And then the importance of brand and expanding the game. So please tell me how this lays out for you.
Three elements here, and I'll go what I think first and foremost. The Olympics, from a competitor perspective, if I'm the USA Basketball, the whoever's managing the team, I know it's not Grant Hill, but whoever's managing the USA Basketball women's roster, whoever that is, I need to field the very best team for the international game. And I think the USA women's team made a mistake, because for the exact same reason that we talked about Drew Holiday, right? You need more
shooters
on the men's team. So like I said, Steph, Clay, KD, lights out, right? Yep. Look at the women's team. Sabrina is great. Kelsey Plum is great. You got a lot of great players, but the second most threes made in the WNBA, Caitlin Clark. Sabrina's number five. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Caitlin Clark that she does from a three, and that's the thing, it's just a different game, right? Three-point shooting is astronomically more important in FIBA and international basketball than it is in the WNBA and the NBA, because the rules favor a more up and down, go to the basket style of play, individual play in the NBA and WNBA. So from the pure perspective of, if I was to say to you, I think, I don't know if you would agree or not, but on the US Olympic team, the Canadian Olympic team, every Olympic team has to say, I need the best, probably four or five 3-point shooters that are available in my country to be on the Olympic team, just to field the best team. So if we just keep it to that, the style of play requires more shooting. Okay. Now,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Here's the difference. USA Basketball for a long, long time, like up until 1988 in my Olympics, my second one, where the USA didn't medal, they came fourth or fifth. I think USA came fourth and we came sixth. It was something like that, right? Same thing. We're just going to show in with big, long, athletic, tall. We're going to play an up and down USA style of game. And they got thrashed by Yugoslavia and Lithuania, I think, or Russia back then. Okay. Because they play that game. The shot's not coming on the second or the third pass. It's coming on the fourth or fifth pass. And they're playing that open space, San Antonio's 90s style move and cut and free. And then it's like wide open three money. They play for the three as the predominant focal point for the offense. That's the way the international game is played, and that's why the USA has been vulnerable, because the NBA style play, it translates, but it doesn't translate directly. It's kind of like the difference between speaking Italian and Spanish. You can figure some stuff out, but it's not all the way over, right? Now, yep. So that's issue one. So I think they made a mistake purely from the perspective of, again, they put together, these are the top 10, 12 all-star players in the WNBA today based on the WNBA style of play. That's great. Those are the 12 best players in the WNBA. Make no mistake, the way that game is played. It's a mistake to leave her and anyone else off the team. I think they're too light on three-point shooting. And I'm sorry to everybody in the WNBA, but Caitlin Clark is the only female shooter on the planet that does the Steph Curry style to stuff. Like Caitlin Clark does stuff that you don't even see in the men's game, okay? And the way that she can pull a defense, you have to guard her so far away from the basket. No one else does that. So in the international game, where they will pack it in the lane and they will zone and they will force you to shoot, the fact that the deeper you can shoot, the more open, that's what you have to open up so that those other great players can make great plays to win. You know, to play near the basket and do that other kind of, you know, play. So I think from a purely strategic perspective and recognizing the style of play and how it's slightly nuanced differently, you need more 3-point shooting. I think she's the most prolific 3-point shooter next to Sabrina. I love Sabrina, by the way. I think she's still more effective right now, but she's also playing on a better team and she's got more support. She gets more open looks. You know, every shot that Caitlin takes is pressured because she's on a crappy team, right? That's a whole different scenario. But on the U.S. Olympic team, it's a mistake not to have at least one or two more people who the 3-point shot is their first shot. That's what they're looking for That's how they play. You got to have that. So that's a mistake. Now, on the second part, marketing, branding, growing the game. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Caitlin's the biggest name on earth right now in women's basketball, much to the chagrin probably of a lot of people in the league that feel like, hey, what's going on? But when their paychecks go up, they'll all be happy to thank her for it, right? but the reality is, though, is that she does have that effect. But I do think, though, and this is what I really like. For the record, I'm a huge fan of Angel Reese. For the record, I just saw a great thing, and I watched more game tape on, is it not Asia Wilson? Who's the – I think she plays for the Aces. She's clearly the dominant best player in the WNBA right now.
No, that's Asia. That's Asia Wilson.
And I just watch her and go, she is legit.
Yeah. But
the bottom line is she's got eyeball because whether you like it or not in terms of growing the games, but what does Asia Wilson do that you can't see or have never seen in the men's game? Nothing.
No.
Like KD, Asia Wilson. I view those as kind of – I love her mid-range game. That little turnaround she's got, she gets in the lane. She's phenomenal. But KD does all that, right? And so that's where Caitlin got the eyeballs on her. But now we get to appreciate her. And so Caitlin is this big draw to grow the game because she is doing things that you could watch Caitlin play and see stuff that you will not see between the Celtics and the Mavs tonight or whenever they're playing. You'll see stuff with her that you don't get to see, right? And that's why she's got the eyeballs. If she was just a really – like Kelsey Plum, right, who was a phenomenal scorer, had enormous numbers, but you're not going to see anything with Kelsey Plum that you haven't seen that you can't see in the NBA. So that was the difference. So on that part of it, I kind of look at it from the product perspective and say, I don't think the Olympics, that's all of what I just said is true for the WNBA as a TV product. I don't think that has anything to do with the Olympics. The Olympics is about fielding the best team. So on your third point of, in terms of fielding the best team, point one, it's a mistake. It's not just her. I think they're missing two. If you were to say who are the top 5 3-point shooters in the WNBA right now, at least 3 or 4 of those should be on this team to complement the other players. Right.
That's an interesting thing, Turk, that the WNBA is a big woman game. It now is a post-up game. Yeah, you have the exceptional shooters, but for the most part, how they grind from night to night for the league and how they're taught to play. But I'll ask this. Is the fact that Caitlin didn't try out, that she went from a college season under high watch to postseason with a high watch, immediately into carrying the WNBA, and not had access to the international game with the players from Team USA?
Well, Team USA has always had the luxury of so much talent. Like, you don't try out for the USA team, you get appointed. Like the men's team's no different, right?
Yeah.
Here, we're going to – it's more like we're going to talk, hey, LeBron, do us a favor. Come play for your country. Or can we say that you're in? Yeah, yep. I'm in. You know? Yep. It's different. You're appointed. There's no tryout process.
Yeah.
But you got to realize what's going to happen. There's no question. I think the women, if you look at the men's game and the women's game, would you agree with me that the disparity in talent between, let's use Canada USA as a perfect example.
Okay.
I think there's only 5 or 6 Canadians that are starters in the WNBA. Right.
Yep.
You know, Kia Nurse is, you know, there's the one everybody knows, and there's another one, I'm brain farting.
Harrison will pull it up. Don't worry.
Yeah, but there's like 5. If you say Canadians in the WNBA, 5 or 6 names come up. But if you say Canadian men in the NBA, 30 names come up, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll probably have lottery picks again. Like if you look at the NBA draft, there's been a Canadian in the lottery: RJ Barrett, Tony Bennett, Jamal Murray, you know, Andrew Wiggins. We've had number one picks, like number 3 picks. Zach Edey's going to probably – by the way, I think Zach Edey should be on the Canadian team, because here's what I will tell you. Those Euros are going to bring some big old 350-pound guys in the middle that are going to give an international foul on the first guy that comes through the lane. Like, hey, I'll tell you right now, you want to talk bad boys? A guy fouling you that plays behind the Iron Curtain, That dude knows what that dude grew up in a house that was leveled by an explosion last year, and his dad's working in a coal mine unless they win a gold medal. You're going to get some hard fouls with big, big dudes. So you got to be able to counter that, right? So, of course, the USA guys are great and they're phenomenal. And yeah, USA is always the favorite in the Olympics still. But if you compare even just Canadian men, USA, we've got 12 NBA players too. France is going to start 5 NBA players, right? Spain will. Okay. You know, you're going to have 5 or 6 teams that are all in. Germany will. Schroeder, you're going to have teams that have full starting fives of NBA players. Now compare that to the women. Canada will have 4 or 5. Then, okay, who's the third best women's team after USA, Canada? So I do think that the talent disparity and the skill level of the game international in women's basketball will insulate the women's team from the mistake they made in not strategically preparing for the international game. They're just so big and talented, it won't matter that they don't have the right roster. But if you were preparing for a great international team, yeah, you cannot have a team with at least 3 or 4 people that can light it up on 3-point like every single day.
Turk, will there ever be a women's Caitlin Clark in Canada? I mean, is Kelsey Plum kind of that? Is nurse popular?
I'm gonna send this out to you, right? I think her name is Sylvia Swords. From my hometown of Sudbury-on-Tan, a little mining town,
yeah,
that girl can ball out. She's 16 years old. And by the way, tell your boys, I need this video clip to send to her. But she because I'll tell you, she needs to get some love. There are some great, not good, great young Canadian female players that are going to do a lot of damage in college and in the WNBA coming up. And she's one of them. And that's the thing too, is like, you know, there's now that, like, for a Canadian player, unlike when it was when I was playing, there is a track where you can go high school, AAU, Mount Vernon Academy, you know, college, 2 years, pros. We have a Canadian Academy now for elite players, for men and women, that didn't exist when I was there. It didn't exist until after Steve Nash even, right? So I'm telling you, those players are coming, because Canada basketball is now the number one participation sport in the entire country.
Wow.
More than hockey.
Wow. That's a statement.
It's a true statement, because, well, think about it, right? You want to go play hockey in our hockey team, DP, you better show up with $1,500. If you're a family that doesn't have a lot of money,
yeah,
a good pair of skates alone is $1,000. Nowadays. Basketball, give me a pair of shoes. Where's the court? You know, like, it's a totally, so the participation level is extremely high, and Canadians love the game. The Raptors are great. And by the way, 2026, Toronto's getting a WNBA franchise. So now you're going to have an even more direct homegrown path to like, for a young person to be the next Caitlin Clark, they just have to see a path forward. Like when I was coming up, like literally I mean, this is how old I am, DP. I could literally say before me, there wasn't one Canadian guard that had ever made the NBA even for 5 minutes. Not, yeah, 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Now, a Canadian born guard, right? Now we had like Tony Sims. We had guys that had Canadian relations, but born in Canada, grew up in Canada, played in Canada. There was nobody for me to look ahead to and say, oh, there's the guy that did what I'm doing. He came from a small town in northern Canada, and he's going to go play in the league. There's no such thing. Nowadays, there is a path. You can be from small town, middle of nowhere, whatever. And by the way, you know, shout out to an icon for all of us, Jerry West and his family. I love the Jerry West story. Small town, West Virginia, middle of nowhere, becomes the logo, right? That's that beautiful story of going from, like, and I look at that because he came from a mining town. I came from a mining town where, you know, it was the only way out, right? Well, that path is now there for Canadian players. And now that you've got NBA and WA tracks where scouts come to Canada, right? I remember when I was playing in high school, we had Jim Boeheim and John Thompson in a high school gym in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada. And nobody even knew who they were in our gym. And they're like, you know, and it's like, you know, so it's crazy to think about how it's changed for us. But there will be a Canadian version. And I'll give you Swords. Look her up, S-O-W-R-D-S. She's a great young player, 16, 17. She is balling out. She'll do great.
We will put her a clip on the internet, Dave Turcotte. We'll throw it a break, come back. We'll close out one-on-one with Dave Turcotte. I want to ask him about this series. And, of course, one more question just about Turk himself and the Dream Team. We'll be right back to one-on-one.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final segment of One-on-One, Dave Turcotte, we appreciate you. You said Harrison says there is a correction that needs to be made. Kind sir.
I kept saying Sylvia Swartz. Syla, S-Y-L-A. She is playing at Michigan University now. She is from my hometown of Sudbury, Ontario, Canada, which is in the middle of nowhere, and nobody knows where that is. But it is a mining town back way up north, and so proud of her and what she's doing, and she's going to do great things. So you watch her. She's turning a lot of heads already now, and she's going to do big work in Michigan and for Canada.
Well, she's on the list now, and we'll have Harrison cut it up and send it out and shout her out. Just text him whatever her social media is so we can let her know we're supporting her. She's getting support from the South. We're down here rooting for her. So a couple of things. You and I were talking. You told the story of when you found out that you were against the Dream Team, you're going to guard Jordan. And two things came up. One, Canada needs to do better about documenting what you guys did and who you guys were. And do you even have like a jersey from Team Canada?
The team jerseys, no. Ironically, I got signed shoes from Michael when I played against him. I got other stuff.
Yeah.
But I practice gear, other things, but those things all, you know, what's really funny is over the years, that stuff just kind of disappeared. I'm not sure how.
But
no, you know, the funny thing is back then, though, it was really weird. I don't know if I told you. Did I tell you the Nintendo story of that team?
No.
So if you play Dream Team 1992, the Nintendo video game, you play the game me against Jordan. And so I used to joke that for about 10 years after the 92 Olympics, I could see all these kids in living rooms being pissed off, like, I don't want to be the Canadian dude. So I used to joke. It's like I literally got my ass kicked 5 million times a day for about a decade by this mathematical algorithm that made it possible for us Canada to beat Team USA in the video game. But it's a fun thing. And years later, my daughter found it and played it as a joke and be like, yeah, Dad, you're not looking very good, you know. But it's a lot of fun. There's a great legacy with that. As far as that's one of the things that, Canada really was, back in the 80s and 90s when I was playing, it really was a small town kind of thing. We were just coming up and there were only a couple guys that had played in the league at that point. And Steve Nash really broke through, but he didn't break through till the mid late 90s. Right.
Yeah.
And so, then you had Rick Falk, Billy Winnington, of course, was with the Bulls, and he's a little bit older than me, but he's a 7-footer. So you had Mike Smrek with the Lakers. So you had 7-footers, but you didn't really have small position players like me until Steve Nash and beyond. And so anything before the year 2000 is kind of this weird transition area, right? Where, yeah, did we invent the game? Yep. But, was the first Olympics in basketball, 1936, Hitler's Olympics in Germany, Canada, USA, Mexico, gold, silver, bronze, right? And then ever since then, Canada never won another medal again, right? So we kind of never prioritized basketball as a sport. It was always about hockey. So our history, this is a true sad story. My buddy Howard Kelsey that I work with, I'm now part, we helped form the National Basketball Teams Alumni Association to try to grab some of that history. The game ball where we won the silver medal and the medal was in a locker stuffed in the bottom of the offices of Basketball Canada. And we just kind of found it. Oh, there it is. And there was no effort to sort of preserve a lot of that history. And so that's happening now. We've got some great stuff going with the Hall of Fame and some other things that we're doing to get those things going to sort of rejuvenate and kind of remember a lot of great history for a lot of great players that, you know, were the building blocks or the foundation upon which we transitioned to this cottage industry, small level play to being NBA world stage stuff. The Raptors helped for sure, but there were a lot of great players that showed up before Vince Carter that really were building blocks, were guys, more importantly, like me, that could get recruited to even play Division One and get playing time. Like, that was the first thing that had to happen. Canadians had to get, there were a lot of Canadians that played at Duke and with Syracuse and stuff like that, and St. Bonaventure, where a lot of my friends played, but they weren't starters and they were coming off the bench and they had nominal roles, right? So until we broke through to being all conference players, starters, and getting visibility, oh, Canadians can play. Well, now all of a sudden we're getting more opportunities to play in college and go from there. So I appreciate you bringing that up. There's a lot of great history of the game that was played. A lot of guys that were really pushing forward in the vanguard of basketball in Canada. Tony Sims, Stu Granger, Dwight Walton, Wayne Yearwood, Trevor Williams, guys I played with, Carroll Hamilton, people I played with that people don't know enough about, that need to know about them. Eli Pasquale, Jay Triano, who's coaching in the league, by the way. You know, Danny Mahar played at Duke. You know, the very first great, Coach K's first great Duke team was Danny Mahar, was a starting power forward, one of Coach K's favorite players of all time. Great Canadians playing on these teams. Bill Winnington, of course, you know, from St. John's and the Bulls. You know, all these great players, there's this murky area from the 80s through the 90s where there's this void where nobody knows what anyone in Canada was doing. And that's where I was kind of working it out, trying to get there. And so thanks for bringing it up. But as part of my effort with the Alumni Association to kind of resurrect some of that history and bring it out and just make sure those people get recognized for their contribution to the journey to where we are now.
Turk, that'll be it for this week. Next week, we will talk about the Danny T. Mahars and the Leo Routins. We want to talk. We'll go a little bit in the deep dive and talk about some of the players' style of play and then what's going on and whether NIL is a thing in Canada.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Turk, if you got a following, you get the money.
That's it. That's it. Turk, appreciate you, brother. We'll do it again next week. Same time. That'll be it for One-on-One. Des Moines Personnel, Don't Punt Hour, up next on The Ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.